We're doing the Drashot Taran. We're up to page Memhei in the Shalem edition, page Kuchav Bez in the Mosad HaRav Kook edition. Taran has been focusing on the first mitzvah that the Jewish people were given, the mitzvah of this month being our month, the beginning of our month. And he was discussing why is this the first mitzvah and the concept of the oral law, the concept of the responsibility of the rabbis to interpret the Torah that is really included in this mitzvah, the concept of reward and punishment which we see in this mitzvah. God says, be careful with this mitzvah and you will be protected, as we see that the people were taught that a person who performs a mitzvah goes above the laws of nature. The laws of nature will sometimes cause punishment in the world. And here we left off with a discussion of this concept that punishment and disease and even the plagues, the Ran is referring to as nature. And our remaining alive, that's above nature. Not the way we ordinarily think of it. We think the ten plagues, that was unnatural. And the fact that we were okay, we weren't harmed by them, well, that's natural. No, the Ran says no. And we said he's still going to develop this concept. The Ran left off with a quote from Chazal, that Chazal say, I rule man, and who rules me, God says? The tzaddik. I can make a decree, and the tzaddik can annul the decree. And that's the idea that the tzaddik, or a person who performs mitzvot, can raise himself above the laws of nature. There's the natural order of things, and then there's the capacity to rise above that. V'zeh adat, and this concept, that the Torah is not bound by nature, that the Torah gives the capacity to rise above nature, nitamet bechol hatchalot haTorah. This concept is one of the fundamental points of the Torah, and it's really there, you'll see it in all the fundamental starting points of the Torah. Ki matzeinu leTorateinu atmimah shalosh hatchalot. Because really there are three starting points to the Torah. There are three beginnings in the Torah. Ha'achat, one starting point, is ha-mitzvah hazot, this mitzvah of the paschal offering. So here are the mitzvah of the new month and the paschal offering, they go hand in hand. That's the one beginning of the Torah. Uvezo ha'atchala heram ayin be'ayin kinyan ha-mitzvah m'shane teva m'tziut. And here God showed them, you perform the mitzvos, you perform the mitzvah of bringing the paschal offering, doing what I told you, you're going to be able to overcome nature. There's going to be a plague, the firstborn are going to drop dead, you're not. Because putting blood around the doorpost, there's no natural understanding why that should protect the person from some plague that's plaguing Egypt. The only reason that protected them was because it's a mitzvah. God says, I'm telling you, you do it, I'll protect you. It's not natural. There's no natural explanation why putting blood around the doorpost will protect from a plague. The second beginning we have in the Torah is once we left Egypt, we became our own people. The first time we camped in the desert was in a place called Marah. V'sham ne'emar, and over there in Marah we come, the waters are bitter, and God says to Moshe, Vayorehu etz, God taught him, Vayorehu Hashem etz, God taught him about a tree, Vayishlech el ha'mayim, he threw that tree into the water, Vayimteku ha'mayim. And then the waters became sweet. Sham sam no chokum mishpat v'sham nisao. There in Marah, God gave them statutes and laws, and there He tested them. Kilomar shenisa teva choko imu maspik be'asarat hamachala. What He's saying here is that Hashem commanded them, throw this stick into the water. You want the water to become sweet? You got to put this stick into the water. And nisahu over here doesn't mean like he tested, but rather the idea is to validate. Over there they validated this concept. They validated this concept that if God says you do X and it'll work, it'll change everything, then if you do it, it works. And Chazal tell us a deeper concept. Chazal say that they took a bitter stick and God said, take this bitter tree, put it in the bitter water, and that'll sweeten the water for you. It was a miracle within a miracle. So here God's telling them to do something that doesn't make sense to them. They're complaining, the waters are bitter. God shows them, this tree, you want the water sweetened, just put this is the water purifier here in Marah. So they come to Marah, where the waters are bitter, and God tells them, here's what I'm telling you, something that didn't make sense to us. But we listened. We did what Hashem said, even though it didn't make sense to us. And then we validated that when we do what Hashem says, even though we don't understand it, it works. Sham Nisahu. There they validated it. V'ra'u kulam kichenu. Everyone saw it was like this. Ki zeh etz asher haya hardufni. The tree they put in, our sages say, is the tree called hardufni. It's a very bitter tree. Our sages taught us, l'divrei rabbeinu zal, haya ra'u losif b'mirut ha'mayim ha'mtukim. The natural result should have been that the waters got even more bitter. If you take this tree and put it in regular water, the water becomes bitter. So here they have bitter water, and God says, put this tree in the bitter water, it'll get better. So that's the second beginning of the Torah, so to speak. Now we're our own people out in Mara. We have our first encounter with nature. It's a difficult encounter, and God says, here's how you solve it. It didn't make sense to us, but when we did it, it worked. So in the second beginning, so to speak, of the Torah, again we are taught this concept, Atchala Shlishit, the third beginning of the Jewish people, Himamad al Sinai, is when we stood at Sinai, Asheren Safek Shekol HaInyan Ahu Haya Lemala Min HaTeva. Undoubtedly, standing at Sinai was beyond nature. V'zachu Kol Yisrael LeMadrigat HaNevuah, and all of Israel suddenly attains the level of prophecy. Undoubtedly, part of prophecy is recognizing the truth. So when a person attains such a high level, then he also understands the Torah is above the laws of nature. So he says in the third beginning, the beginning of actually attaining prophecy, so there we've maybe got the clearest vision, the clearest understanding, that Torah is above the laws of nature. And all these concepts, they indicate another concept which is very important, and that is the concept of reward and punishment. And another very important concept, so we said, concept number one, Torah is above nature. All of these sources indicate concept number two, which is there is reward and punishment. And concept number three is that life doesn't end when we drop dead. Meaning there's more to life than the life we see down here. Those are two very important concepts in Torah. Reward and punishment, right? God has an action that He wants us to do, and there's going to be a reaction if we do or don't do. And then that there's more to talk about than what we see down here. That's part of the answer in the book of Job. If everything's about down here, then we can't understand why we should lead righteous lives. If life ends, the minute you die, well, go look around you. A lot of people lead righteous lives and they suffer terribly. So it can't be, if we're saying there's reward and punishment, and we're going to say everything's fair, then they're part of that concept also has to be. There's more to life than what we see down here. Aladir Shaver. Now he's going to explain. Davar yadua hu ki ein echad me'anefashot ha'shalosh. It's known that not one of the three souls, we have three aspects of life. Ritzoni lomar ha'nefesh ha'tzomachat la'tzomech, be it the type of life, what we call the capacity to grow, v'anefesh ha'chiyunit l'chai, or the capacity to live, of the living, she'inom daber, v'anefesh ha'mdaber l'adam, or the third capacity, that's the human soul, the soul that speaks, en achad me'elu museget b'chush. If you want to see what is life, you can't figure it out. Look at a plant and figure out what's the difference between a plant and a stone. How come a plant has photosynthesis? So we can see the process, right? Science can analyze the process. Science can tell you how the heartbeat beats, how the mind sends out neurons, and we have electrotransmitters. We can understand the process. But what's the battery? What's what we call life? Where does all this come from? You want to explain to me how an animal, how a plant, how a human being lives? We don't know where it all comes from. We can explain what happens if you dry it out, if you leave it without water, if you leave a human without air. All of that we can understand because that's external. It's about the process. But at the heart of it all, what we call life, even the most basic form of life, the life of a plant, we don't know how to explain it. We can explain what happens within the cell. We can explain a lot of the process. We've gotten very good at that in our generation. But it's all about the process. At the end of the day, after we've analyzed this whole process, the question of life, why is a protozoa like this? Why is an amoeba like that? Explain to me the simplest life form. No one knows. We don't know. The Ran says we don't know. The concept of life is something that's beyond our perception. But we do know that it exists, right? We do see a plant is alive. We do see an animal is alive. We do see a human being is alive. We know it exists, but we can't define life. We can't get to the crux of the matter. כי כשראינו הצומח מתנועה לכל צעד וידענו בו כי לא יספיק לזה טבע לבד, כי התנועה הטבעית לא תהיה כי אם מן האמצע אל המקיף או מן המקיף אל האמצע, קוים אצלנו כי יש בזה המין אשור הצומח, התחלה אחרת תתחייב ממנה זאת התנועה. You see the plant form growing, you understand it's alive. Because if it were only nature, well, nature causes things to move, nature causes things to sway, but when you see growth, when you see the thing growing in a certain direction, you understand this thing is alive. וקראנו לזאת ההתחלה נפש הצומחת. So that's what we call the life of growth, the life of a plant. וכאשר ראינו החי שיש לו זאת התנועה, and then we look at the living creatures, what we call the animals, the animal kingdom, or the reptile kingdom, what we call living, not just plants, but in Hebrew we call it chai. We see it grow, מלבד זה שהוא משיג ומתנועה ברצון, but then we see there's intellect. It's not just a plant that grows in one place, but rather there's desire, there's movement, there's more to his growth and to his action than a plant. בידענו שלא יספיק לזה הטבע ולא נפש צומחת לבד. So we know it's not only nature that causes an animal to move this way or that way. It's not only nature that causes it to grow. It has another aspect of life. קוים אצלנו כי יש בזה המין אשר הוא החי, נפש החיונית. So then we understand there's another type of life form. There's life of the plants, and then there's life of animals and reptiles and the kingdom. I don't know how you define that in English. How do you call chai in English? Are worms in the animal kingdom?
I think so.
Yeah, anything above the plant kingdom is?
You have plants and you have animals.
Too different from the plants.
I love this animal. I think that's what I remember in school.
Okay, maybe it's called the animal
it's
kingdom.
Been a while, man. It's
animal Me too, yeah. I think it's that. Maybe it's the animal kingdom. Okay. וכאשר היינו באדם, then you move on to the human being. And this is a very important point. Like the Rambam says. Rambam says, if you ask me, could you eat a human being? And I say no. The reason you can't eat a human being is not because he's a non-kosher animal. It's not. Don't tell me I can't eat human beings. Well, they don't have split hooves and they don't chew their cud. So I guess they're not kosher. That's not the idea, says the Rambam. Because we're not in the same class. It's not that a human being is a non-kosher animal. Well, if I have a choice to eat donkey or eat human, well, I guess they're both not kosher. So what difference does it make? Wrong, says the Rambam. The human being is not within the animal kingdom. He doesn't have that classification. If a woman gives birth to a human being who does chew his cud and does have split hoofs, you still can't eat him, right? A human being is a different class. It's not within the same class. This is a concept, the Kuzari discusses this concept, the Rambam, and now we see it in the Ran. You look at a human being, so you see he's not just a more sophisticated animal. And you see him and you understand, וכאשר ראינו באדם אלו הכוחות ומלבד אלו כוח אחר והוא כוח המשכיל. You see the human being's capacity to grow intellectually. You see that he's a different life form. He's not just an animal. וידענו כי לא תספיק לזה נפש חיונית. קוים אצלנו כי יש במין האנושי התחלה השתתפו בה שלושה כוחות. So we see that he has a starting point, what we would call a life. What gives him life that has three components, three strengths. He has the component of tzomeach, he grows. He has the component of chiyuni, he is alive. And then he has a third component, what we call maskil, the capacity to conceptualize, to be spiritual, the capacity, a totally different capacity. I'll get you in one second. הנה נתבאר כי מציאות אלו הנפשות קויה מצד עירות פעולותיהם, לא מצד אחר. So if you want to understand, if you want to prove life, be it the life of a plant, of an animal, of a human, you can't see life. You could see the products of life. You could see things that indicate there is life, the external. But what is life itself? You can't point to something and say, that's life. You could say, yeah, life has the following attributes. I see he grows. I see he talks. I see he functions. Is that life? No. Those are the byproducts of life. Yeah? Those are external attributes, but they aren't life itself. What is life itself that you can't point to? Yeah.
What does Judaism have to say about evolution and the idea that we came animals?
There's a short summary of answers in the question and answer section online.
Okay.
If after you hear that, you still have a question, so we could discuss it. We also have, in our Drashat Ramban, we discussed it a little bit. It depends which aspect, but before you ask me what Judaism says about evolution, why don't you check what science says about evolution?
I have an opinion on that.
I'm just saying, because science also has left Darwin a long time ago. Meaning science doesn't go with everything Darwin said. Certain things, yes, but a lot of things, no. Yeah?
I was just going to say, there's this guy that works for Ishii Torah, Daryl Schroeder, and he wrote a couple books on like how science and Torah go, they complement each other rather than go against each other. And he said that like the reason behind such differences in opinion is because for the most part, these great scientists don't know the first thing about like, religion or the Torah, and the great Torah scholars, for the most part, don't know the first thing about science. And he said, like, the Rambam said, like, in order to really understand God, you have to understand the way God works in the science. And it's very interesting that he teaches at Ishii, he has a bunch of books, like, one of them is the science of God. So, I don't know if you know that, but I just figured it might be interesting to...
Shukar. And now that we've illustrated, we've defined that our identifying of life is what we see externally. We see the external aspects of life. So if you want to prove that there's life after death, so you have to prove it externally, so to speak, because the physical body, well, the physical body decomposes. We said life is not the physical. The physical is tools of the life. But life itself is not something you could point to. It's not the body. So we have to prove, he says, how can we indicate that life remains after the physical dies? So that that's what we'll have to pick up Bezachem next week. So what do we see today? He discussed that the Torah really has three starting points, and in each of the starting points we see this concept that Torah is above nature. Be it in this mitzvah of the beginning of the first month and the paschal offering, that the blood protects us from a plague in Egypt that's not natural. Be it in Mara, where the tree, a bitter tree, heals bitter water. Be it at Sinai, where the people got prophetic revelations. Obviously, they understood the true concepts and the concept of Torah being above nature. And then he said these concepts really point to another two critical concepts, and that is the concept of reward and punishment, and the concept that the soul remains after death. And then he said, life is something, we have different types of life, but all of life, what we see is the products of life, but life itself is something we cannot point to. So when we are going to prove that life remains after death, we have to remember that we're a little bit limited because our indications from the body is just the tool of life. But life itself is not something that we have pointed to. So now we left off with, okay, so how do you prove that there is life after death? That's where we'll pick up Bezalel next week.